New Testament lesson is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 to 14, and verses 22 to 28. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, and 22 to 28. Hear now the word of God. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now down to verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy place yearly with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
We have on many previous occasions, such as this, spoken to you of the positive doctrines of what the Lord's Supper is, what it means, who partakes of it, under what conditions, and how it works. However, I well know that the human nature being what it is, these affirmations are not always understood as presenting denials of their opposites. Now, what that means is, whenever you say yes to something, you say no to something else. Whenever you make a positive statement of doctrine especially, there is involved necessarily some denial of something else. If the young swain says to his heart's love, "I love you," she rightly takes that to mean, "I do not love others," you see. When mother says to Junior, "Go wash your hands and come to the table," she includes in that positive command a denial of Junior's right to keep playing with the cat or watching television or teasing his sister. So when we present the truth, the positive doctrines, the affirmations of what the Lord's Supper is, we deny other things. However, those denials are not always understood, and I wish to take a few moments this morning very briefly in what could be very controversial statements about what the Lord's Supper is not. They are not meant to be controversial or offensive, but the truth is not without its difficulty or offense. My thesis this morning is that the Mass is not the Lord's Supper, because the Mass purports to be a sacrifice. To put it another way, the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice, or the Lord's Supper is not the Mass. It is not well understood today. Perhaps not well understood by Roman Catholics, but certainly far less by Protestants, what the doctrine of the Mass actually is. And I wish to elaborate on just a few points involved in the claim that the Mass is a sacrifice and express some brief denials. The Mass purports to be a true propitiatory sacrifice. That means a sacrifice that propitiates or satisfies the wrath of God against sin. It purports to be an offering up to God of the self-same body and blood and divinity of Jesus Christ as was offered once upon the cross. That in being offered again and again, it is offered for the expiation of sin, for the reconciliation of men with God, and for securing his providential and gracious blessings. Now, what this means is that all of those things which the Scripture teaches Christ accomplished in his death on Calvary's cross, the Roman Church teaches is accomplished in the sacrifice of the Mass. The propitiation of the wrath of God, expiation for sin, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, and the securing of his saving grace and many blessings in life. Because of the claim that the Mass is an actual sacrifice of the body, blood, and divinity of Jesus Christ, it involves making ministers into priests. Because you have to have a priest to offer a sacrifice. And he who offers a sacrifice to God is by definition a priest. In this doctrine is involved the enduing with these priests of supernatural power. That is, the power to perform miracles, actual miracles. And the miracle in question is the transforming of the bread and the wine into the real physical body and blood of Jesus Christ, which occurs when the priest says, "This is my body." If you or I say, "This is my body," even if we stand at this table, these elements do not become, in the Roman teaching, the body and blood of Christ. But if a true priest in the apostolic succession, consecrated by a true bishop, says those words at this table, those elements no longer are bread and wine. They may look like bread and wine, they may taste like bread and wine, but there is no bread or wine there. Only the real body, the real flesh, and the real blood, and the real divinity of Jesus of Nazareth. And by becoming a priest, the priest is automatically a mediator between God and men. You cannot go directly to God either for the forgiveness of sin or the securing of his saving grace. You must go to the priest, who will then bring you to God and convey God's grace and forgiveness to you. Now, we deny that the Lord's Supper is a true propitiatory sacrifice. It does not satisfy the wrath of God against sin. And this for these several reasons. First, because it is contrary to Scripture, which asserts that instead of being a propitiatory sacrifice, the Lord's table is a meal or a feast commemorative of the death of Jesus Christ. Second, because the elements do not and cannot become the body, blood, and divinity of Christ. And therefore, nothing is offered to God. Now, there are many reasons why we deny that transubstantiation happens. One of them is, as many of you know, the fact that Christ's body and blood are in glory. The man Christ Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God. On the throne of power, ascended into heaven, he is not upon the various tables of the church this day. The other reason is because it is against reason. It is pure technical nonsense to say that the substance of flesh and blood can be upon that table, but it look and taste like juice and bread. The appearance must conform to the substance as it does in all other cases. Furthermore, ministers are not priests. The Scripture clearly teaches that there is only one mediator between God and men anymore. That is the man, Jesus Christ. The gospel is this. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He did not say, "Come unto my priests, and they will bring you to me and convey to you my rest." The teaching of the Scripture is, as you well know if you've been paying attention to the 1 Peter chapter 2, that all God's people are priests in the sense that we all have immediate and direct access to God only through Jesus Christ, not through any man. Ministers are not priests as well because the Scripture never calls them priests. It calls them many other notable titles, but it never calls them priests. Perhaps the greatest reason why the Mass is not and cannot be a sacrifice, why the Lord's Supper is and cannot be a sacrifice or offering up of the body, blood, and divinity of Jesus Christ, was read to you from Hebrews chapter 9, where the whole point of the passage is that Jesus Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That unlike the offering up of bulls and goats, which did not satisfy, Christ needed only to be offered once because his sacrifice was powerful and efficacious. It accomplished its purpose and does not need to be repeated. As in the words of the author of Hebrews, just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Just as men die once and can only die once, so Christ is sacrificed and offered up to God only once. What do we believe about the Lord's Supper in brief? This, that when we come around the Lord's table, we think back in our hearts and minds to the one sufficient offering for the sins of the world, the sacrifice of Jesus' cross upon Calvary, these many years ago. We believe that he is present, truly and significantly present today and in this sacrament. We do not believe that if anyone partakes of this sacrament without faith in their heart, they will gain any benefit whatsoever from it. We do not believe that his body and blood are upon this table. But we do believe that to those who trust only in Jesus Christ and in his once offering up of himself upon the cross of Calvary to be their only hope of glory and the only ground of God's forgiveness, to those who receive this sacrament as though receiving him and renewing their vows of obedience and penitence, he indeed comes anew and afresh to dwell in them, to strengthen and to nourish them. May God grant to us that as we come to this table, there will be no thought of superstition or error, no thought of magic, but only the simple reliance of faith upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of all those who trust in him. Let us hear now the words of invitation to the Lord's table. Dearly beloved, all that humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all that are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from the burden of them, are invited and encouraged in his name to come to this sacrament. Let us therefore so come that we may find refreshing and rest unto our souls. As we draw near to the Lord's table to celebrate the holy communion of the body and blood of Christ, we are gratefully to remember that our Lord instituted this sacrament for these several reasons: for the perpetual memory of his dying for our sakes and the pledge of his undying love, as a bond of our union with him and with each other as members of his mystical body, as a seal of his promises to us and a renewal of our obedience to him, for the blessed assurance of his presence with us who are gathered here in his name, and as a pledge of his coming again. Seeing therefore what great benefits Christ has prepared for us in this communion, for this cause let us bow our knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith.